the IRS is going after wealthy people who put their money into elaborately designed tax shelters. For as long as there have been taxes, there have been people trying not to pay them. And U.S. officials say tax avoidance schemes by corporations and individuals exploded in the 1990s. Accounting and law firms marketed those schemes to wealthy clients. NPR's Jim Zeroli reports on an effort to crack down.
In the 1990s, William Seipel was one of the lucky ones. As an executive at a telecommunications company, Seipel was given stock options that would ultimately net him a profit of $12 million. Then his company's accounting firm, Ernst & Young, made him a highly appealing offer. Blair Fensterstock is Seipel's attorney.
They said, we have a well-established method backed by legal opinions to shelter capital gains. This is basically a no-risk proposition. It's been tested before, and it's passed the IRS scrutiny.
Fensterstock says the accounting firm had developed a tax shelter called COBRA. It's what's called a basis-shifting transaction. Essentially, the user engages in a series of options trades, some of which lose money. That gives the person a big paper loss that can sharply reduce his or her taxes. At the same time, any profits made in the trades get shifted to a shadow partnership. The whole thing is done through legal strategies so complicated, even the Internal Revenue Service had trouble understanding them. Michigan Senator Carl Levin.
That's what they rely on. They rely on this being so complicated. If you could see a flow chart here, it would look like a bowl of spaghetti. And so what the companies that do this are relying on is that there won't be resources in the IRS to pierce through this.
There have always been complex tax shelters, and there's not necessarily anything illegal about them. But Ronald Perlman of the Georgetown Law Center says tax shelters like COBRA proliferated in the 1990s as corporate profits mushroomed. He says major accounting firms created departments to sell tax shelters to big companies. But eventually, he says, the market grew saturated, and the firms had to look for new customers.
They had the marketing structure in place. They had their tax experts in place, and they were looking for more sales, just as a business that sells furniture is always looking for more sales.
Perlman says the accounting firms turned first to small companies and then to wealthy people. Along the way, U.S. officials say they sometimes cut corners. The Senate Subcommittee on Investigations released subpoenaed documents and emails last year in which KPMG employees argued about the legality of one of the firm's shelters. KPMG wouldn't comment except to say it no longer sells the shelters in question. IRS Commissioner Mark Everson, who spent years in the accounting profession, says the spread of tax shelters like these shows how much professional ethics have deteriorated in the field.
The approach to the job of the professional in this area changed from one of making sure clients were on the right side of the law to a model of value creation and risk management. As soon as that change took place, it's very hard to draw a line as to what you're doing, because success is paying no tax at all.
Tax experts say these shelters cost the U.S. Treasury many billions of dollars each year, but no one knows exactly how much. That's partly because it's sometimes a judgment call whether a particular shelter is illegal or not. The Justice Department is investigating the sale of tax shelters by accounting firms, and the IRS has listed several popular shelters as potentially abusive, including COBRA, which William Seipel bought from Ernst & Young.
Well, he was shocked.
Seipel's lawyer, Blair Fensterstock, says that when Seipel found out COBRA had been designated as abusive, he contacted the IRS voluntarily. And the IRS made him pay all of his back taxes, plus interest and a penalty, an amount that came to about $5 million. Today, Seipel is suing Ernst & Young, as well as the law firm and bank that handled the transaction. Ernst & Young declined to comment. Fensterstock says because Seipel had no liquid assets available, he had to sell his family home in Maine to pay his back taxes. He also insists his client had no way of knowing that COBRA was illegal when he used it.
I think he thought this is America, and there have been tax shelters forever, legal tax shelters that have passed muster of the IRS and the tax court, and this was probably another one.
But IRS Commissioner Mark Everson doesn't buy that. He says successful, smart businessmen have to know there's something fishy about shelters that allow them to evade 100% of the taxes they owe.
There's no such thing as a free lunch in this area. If you made a gain because you sold your business at a big profit, well, then you owe some tax.
Siples is one of a growing number of suits filed against these accounting and law firms. Meanwhile, the firms are also being investigated by the Justice Department and the IRS. Georgetown's Ronald Perlman says there's no question the IRS is finally pursuing tax shelters more aggressively. But he says the laws will probably have to be changed as well to make shelters less lucrative.
Some of those changes are pending in the Congress now, but it's not at all clear that the political will exists on Capitol Hill to enact the changes that need to be made. And secondly, it depends on the resources that the Internal Revenue Service has. Does it have adequate numbers of revenue agents who understand these transactions? Are they adequately trained? Are they given the sufficient support?
And on that, Perlman says the jury is still out. IRS officials say simplifying the tax code would decrease tax loopholes and therefore deal a big blow to illegal shelters. President Bush says he favors simplification, although he hasn't given a lot of details about how he would achieve it. And Democratic nominee John Kerry also talks about cracking down on shelters for corporations and wealthy individuals. Critics say the government has tried to curb the use of shelters before, most recently in the mid-1980s, but people have managed to find new loopholes to exploit. And it's probably safe to say that over time they'll do so again, no matter what steps the government takes to prevent it. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.